Toll tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show. You are listening to Urban Media Today Radio, Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bill Neal here with all-knowing Kevin Cameron. And I say that respectfully because, well, he thinks that he does. But as the show goes on, you'll find out if that's true or not. But he is quite insightful when it comes to the baseball game. As a matter of fact, I believe the word he used about describing his skills in the baseball information pool is aficionado. Baseball aficionado, a baseball historian, if you will, a person that played the game, knows the game, yada, yada, yada. So, Kev, since we're sitting here in Pittsburgh, I don't mind starting with our coach, Hurdle, of the Pittsburgh Pirates, said very boldly and very strongly several days ago, of course, everybody reporting to a spring training camp, that Pittsburghers are going to be surprised when the Pirates win this thing. Now, he didn't identify if he meant when we win this thing this year,
exactly,
or when we win this thing someday. So I don't know what he meant by
that. Well, that's awfully hilarious, Bill. Let me just start off by saying that. I'm not sure who he's trying to impress, but it is spring training. So you have to be optimistic. From a manager standpoint, and you have to try to say things and do things to actually fire up the team. But I'll tell you that the Pittsburgh Pirates do not have a chance in the world, not at the playoffs, not even as a wild card, not even as a contender. And I'll actually say that I'll have to look it up, Bill, to see how many games that the Pirates won last year. I know they had a losing season.
I think it was 83.
No, it wasn't 83. I know that for sure. It's below 82, and I'll check that in a minute.
Then the second number that comes in my mind is 79.
Okay, it might be 79.
For
I know
some
that
reason,
they were
83 came to my mind.
They were below 500. But I tell you what, I didn't have confidence in the Pirates last year, and I have less confidence in the Pirates this year. And I believe based on the roster, and unless they make a move like the Cleveland Cavaliers just made a move over the last week, unless they make a dramatic move such as that, I do not see the Pirates winning more games this year than they won last year. Matter of fact, I believe that they're going to lose 10 more games than they won. Or I should say they're going to lose 10 more than they lost last year. Okay, McCutchen is gone. Some other pieces are gone. They, you know, since 2013, they've really been subtracting from their roster, you know, versus adding to their roster.
So in this case, less is more is not really a good analogy of any sorts. You know, I've said for 3 or 4 years now, respectfully, that, you know, that old boycott or marching rally, mm-hmm, cry that people will offer no justice, no peace.
Exactly.
Well, I think the thing I've been offering for quite some time is no pitching, no World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, and I don't even understand how many people, and there are many who don't, you know, you got a lot of old timers holding on, hoping for the best, clinging for miracles and possibilities, but it's really a very simple science. Great pitching beats great hitting. And if you don't have the pitching, you're not going to win a World Series or a division or anything notable. So it is apparently here we go again.
That's right. And actually, I just looked it up, Bill. The Pirates won 75 games last year. So I expect for them to lose, 10 more. So I believe instead of winning 75, you know, 65 games. If they only win 65 games this year, Bill, that'd be very dismal. And I'm not sure how many fans will actually come out to the ballpark to watch a 65-game winning team. The Pirates, I believe their attendance last year was somewhere around 1.5 million people. So it'll be interesting to see this year in 2018, you know, what they will draw, because that's very important as well. I believe the people here in Pittsburgh are very tired of the ownership. And I've always said, you know, that the Pirates will not be a winning team, a playoff winning team anyway, until they do change ownership.
Well, now, the other thing that I begin to notice, and it's, you know, Milwaukee, you know, when you talk about this, the minus of quality, not the addition of quality, as the Pirates demonstrate year in and year out, letting Cole go, letting McCutchen go, Watson before now, several other pitchers. Meanwhile, Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis keep adding to the quality of their team. So one would have to wonder, how in the world can you expect to win a division if you keep subtracting talent and competition keeps adding talent?
Exactly. So, I mean, when Clint Hurdle sits there and says that, what exactly did he say, Bill? Because it was so crazy.
I wasn't exaggerating. He said that his comments were, and I'm paraphrasing, we can't live in the past. Those great players that we had are gone, and we have to move forward. And while I understand the frustration that some of our fans will have, he said that everybody's going to be really excited when we win this thing. Mm-hmm. But like I said, he didn't identify if he meant win this thing now, this year, or win this thing in 4 years. You know, so that's kind of open-ended. But, you know, Hurdle comes in with a lot of energy and enthusiasm. He's always upbeat. You never, rarely, if ever, hear him down. He takes the hits. You know, he doesn't pass it off on the players. He'll take the hits, as a good coach would do. And I think he believes most of what he says. And so what I would pose to you to talk about is, how much of this really falls in the laps of ownership? Is it true that ownership doesn't spend the necessary amount of money to improve the quality of the team? You know, the ownership got called on the carpet by some part of Major League Baseball that they may not be doing things in the right manner. And many Pittsburghers signed a petition to get the – how about this for crazy? We're going to get up a petition and throw you out, and you're the owner. Hey, little Susie, little Johnny, that ain't happening. You're not getting a petition of a zillion names and throwing me out if I own the team.
And the sad part about that, too, from what I understand, the Nutting family, Bob Nutting, I believe he said that he has no interest in selling the team and that someday he hopes that his daughter will run the team. Now, you know, that's pretty scary. I can't say exactly how she would run the team, but I'm not sure how long it would take to actually get there. Is this something that he would like to see, you know, soon, or is he talking about once he's gone that, he, you know, it would happen? I'm not really sure, but something does need to occur from an ownership standpoint in order for the Pirates to compete, because they're going in a vicious cycle. They had, I believe, three good years, 2013, 14, and 15, and actually began to go backwards in 2013, losing pieces, but they still had enough to contend, and it just fell apart after the 2015 season.
Well, as the old saying goes, we have nowhere to go but up, and there's a lot of space up there.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Bill. I believe there's still a lot of room to go down, unfortunately. you know, you take a look at Harrison, who plays second base, and he could play a lot of other positions as well. He asked to be traded during the offseason. That hasn't occurred. So,
unlucky him.
I know.
I'm sure he would want. And let me just interject this, Gav. I'm sure that Cole is not losing any sleep or shedding any tears.
Not at all. Not at all.
McCutcheon is not losing any sleep or shedding any tears. I'm sure of it.
Right.
And I believe I believe McCutcheon when he says, you know, Pittsburgh is his heart and he wanted to retire here and all that stuff. But at the same time, if you're in San Fran where the sun is shining and the opportunities are brighter, I'm sure he's not shedding any tears over his departure.
No, I believe the Pirates definitely did them both of those guys favors by allowing them to leave or trading them. I'm not sure exactly what kind of value the Pirates received, you know, from the trades.
Nobody knows.
You know, that's something that we could continue to watch. As you indicated, the key in baseball is definitely pitching. You got to have strong pitching, starting pitching, as well as the bullpen. And both of those areas right now are weak for the Pirates. Now, the Pirates have some good young pitchers. However, right now they're really not performing the way they should. I know that they had some issues from a illness and injury standpoint, but for them to even have a decent season, those young pitchers really need to perform at a high level.
So going back to what I asked you moments ago, so is do you think it's smoke and mirrors? Do you think that Pirate ownership and is just handing us a bill of goods and want, you know, they want their average number of fans that come out to every game, suckers that they might be, so that they can continue making money hand over fist even though they pose a losing record? Is it that they really don't care about a World Series?
I wouldn't say they don't care about a World Series, because I do believe that they care. They just do not understand how to accomplish a World Series. If you are not good from a plan standpoint, from a strategic standpoint, it's not going to happen. And I think that's what's going on with the Pirate organization. You have an owner who enjoys having a Major League Baseball team. However, he doesn't put the right pieces in place to come up with the right strategy, to put the players in place to be able to contend. I believe that Hurdle is the right manager for this team. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I believe that they do have some young talent, like Josh Bell over at first base. First base was a weakness for the Pirates for so many years. But there's just too many holes that the Pirates are not willing to fill to be a contender. Not only are they not willing to fill those gaps, when they do get on the path to try to bring in young talent, they do not hold on to that talent long enough to be able to contend on a consistent basis.
Well, with everybody in spring training and getting ready to gear up for the season, knowing that the Pirates are sitting in the cellar, who are you predicting to win in their division, and how are you seeing the baseball field from a distance? Are we looking at repeat World Series matchups, champions, and are we looking at the Dodgers getting it done this year? Anything to make note of early on?
Well, I think it's the normal contenders when it comes to the National League Central. Of course, you have Chicago, who should compete this year as well. You can always count on St. Louis being a competitor. And then you have Milwaukee. And with Milwaukee and Chicago, I think they really took over this division. It used to be St. Louis division for quite some time. So now, you know, again, you have Chicago, who for years couldn't do anything. And now they're really the gold standard when it comes to the National League Central. And then you have Milwaukee. So I would suspect for Chicago to win that particular division this year. And then, you know, you have the Washington Nationals as well over in the East. So I'm looking for them to contend as well. And then over in the West, you do have the Dodgers, you have Arizona, Colorado, and I expect San Francisco to be better this year as well. Now, you know, one team I did not mention, the world champions, Houston, the Houston Astros. Can they repeat? I don't know. Let's see. I think they're in a good position, you know, to take a run at it, but we'll have to see.
Does Cole go in as the ace, and does McCutchen have an automatic start? Is that, are both those things to be assumed?
I'm not sure, Bill. I think with McCutchen, again, he's in a better position, but at this point in time, I really don't know how those teams plan on utilizing a McCutchen or a Cole. So at this particular time, I can't say.
But reasonably safe to assume.
I would think so, Bill.
Yeah.
Definitely being major pieces, you know, to the organization.
Well, baseball season is upon us. Spring training has sprung, and all the pitchers and catchers are in their prospective camps. So we in Pittsburgh will wait and see what happens, although we are pretty sure we know what's going to happen because it keeps happening every year, and nothing should be different based on how things go. You know, as there's hope abounds in the office of the Pirates, in the management of the Pirates, and the coaching of the Pirates, but a lot remains to be seen.
And I think, Bill, the more we could get away from the Pittsburgh Pirates when we talk about baseball, the closer we get to true baseball.
The happy
and
true is.
Baseball players and true baseball teams and contenders. So, you know, right now there's a lot of excitement, you know, with the Angels. Okay, they have a two-way starter from Japan, Shohei Ohtani. Okay. And I probably butchered his name, but he's a player from Japan. He's a two-way player.
Oh, that's not the boy from Cleveland.
That's not the boy from Cleveland.
From Akron that lives on 32nd Street.
Not at all.
That's not the same guy.
Different guy.
Give me the name again.
Shohei Ohtani.
This is Shohei Ohtani. Boys from Akron. Lives right down the road. Well, maybe it's
a well, he probably wishes he was in with a Major League Baseball team with the amount of money that they make. But, you know, this is a throwback baseball player. You know, this is a baseball player that he's a pitcher. He's supposed to be an excellent pitcher as well as he plays a position so he can hit the ball as well. You do not see baseball players that pitch and play a position these days. So I'm really curious to see how this will pan out.
How good a pitcher is he?
Well, I'm not really sure.
Comparably.
But he's supposed to be really good. We'll see. He's 23 years old.
From the Japanese league to the American league to the American baseball.
Right.
Comparably, do we know that he can throw against our batters?
Well, that's yet to be seen.
Okay,
that's always a talking point when the players come over from Japan. But, you know, Shohei Ohtani is in a good position. I mean, again, I'm going to have to check how much money he's making. But, hey, when you add value to a team where you can pitch and you can play a position, that goes a long way.
A long way. Especially in late innings. If you got a guy like that in late innings, it saves you moving players around and a lot of opportunities come your way if he is that kind of pitcher.
Well, I tell you what, if first impressions say a lot, do you know what he did in his first workout?
No.
He hit a home run in his first outing. Okay, so he's already starting off on the right foot. Okay, they didn't even talk about what he did from a pitching perspective already. This is a guy that they're talking about hitting for power. I'm not just talking about hitting for singles.
Sounds like the Japanese Jim Thorpe, if you will.
I'm not sure exactly who you could compare him to, but again, from a value standpoint, I think he's in a good place.
Well, the immediate comparison, in all sincerity, would be Babe Ruth. I mean, probably the last great baseball player that was a great hitter and great pitcher and could play several different positions with Babe Ruth on a major, major scale. So the comparison is there.
But
needless to say, he's got a lot to get to that level.
You know what, Bill? Maybe I need to correct myself. You know, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Josh Harrison pitch a couple games here not too long ago?
Yeah, he can play all nine positions, as it's been said.
Right, yeah, and I thought he did pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to do it on a consistent basis, but, you know, they did throw him in for an inning or two. I think one inning.
Yeah,
you know, I stand to be corrected.
Well, the league will be better off with the addition of this young man, so we look forward to seeing him. And now, I'm going to tell you what else we are looking forward to, and, of course, this is another area where you have great expertise, but the Tiger is back in the hunt once again, and I understand he's holding his own.
Well, it's always good to see – you know, Tiger Woods playing golf. Not only is it good seeing Tiger Woods play golf, but it's good to see that he's healthy. And I believe if he is healthy, he will be able to contend. And I'll say this too, Bill. I believe that Tiger will win a major this year. I'm not sure how many people are actually going out on a limb and saying that, but from what I've seen so far with three tournaments so far. One was a small tournament pretty much over, I believe, in the Bahamas somewhere. And now he's in this second PGA tournament this particular weekend. He's playing well for the most part. So I think by the time major season comes around, he'll be in good shape.
So, you know, just a little bit, since we're in the arena for Tiger and golf season is underway, most certainly. In retrospect, for the many haters that were, you know, there's a lot of Tiger haters. I think some of it is racially motivated, but and some of it is just general hate because he had 15 women and you don't, kind of thing. But
he was a married man, Bill.
I'm just saying, hate is hate. But what do you attribute to the downfall of Tiger? When he went down 3 years ago, two and a half, 3 years ago, what do you attribute? Was it more mental, more physical? Was it the back? Was it, you know, all the other things surrounding him?
I think it was more mental. And then I think the physical came later, and the mental could have caused the physical injuries that he's dealt with, because he's dealt with a bad back. He's dealt with, you know, a bad knee. And I'm not sure. I'm sure there are some other things that he dealt with as well. But from a mental aspect, when he lost his family and went through divorce and everything, that had to take a big toll on him. And if you just take a look at his performance, I think you could go back to that point in time. I can't remember what year it was, Bill, but I could kind of remember the season. If I'm not mistaken, it was around Thanksgiving when the news broke. As far as the incident with his wife at home and the car was in the front yard and everything else. So I think from a mental standpoint, you know, when you're doing something that you shouldn't have been doing and now all of a sudden the world knows about it, you know, that's a lot to take in.
So no matter how strong and tough you are mentally, that can still wear on you, especially in a game like golf. If, you know, quite possibly if that happens, you're a football player, you can wear that out on the field. But it takes so much mental preparation and concentration in golf, maybe that did get to him.
I think in all sports, you know, you have to have the right frame of mind, the right concentration in order to perform. You know, you have some players who – go through things and they focus more and it could actually help them. But I think in this situation here, it was a detriment.
Well, time will tell, but I'm on board with you. That's one area that you and I will agree on, that I am hopeful and expect that Tiger will win. I think I said he needs three to pass Nicklaus.
He needs four.
He needs four to pass Nicklaus. I think I said he'd win another two majors. And I guess it's safe to say, too, then, that if Tiger doesn't eclipse Nicklaus, no one will?
I don't think anytime soon.
I mean, who comes in behind Tiger? I think
Phil is the next person in line, and he's not doing it. He's not. Matter of fact, the last tournament that Tiger played, and I forget the name of the tournament, but the one he played before this one, they're playing the Genesis Open this weekend. But Tiger outplayed Phil, you know, just coming back after not playing a full year in 3 years, basically. So when it comes to majors, if Tiger doesn't do it, I don't believe anyone will do it anytime soon.
We'll be back with more Soul Take Champions Live.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.